Elliott.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Charles Elder, the Executive Vice President of Alyeska Services, and other members of his group. Mr. Dick Johnson, who is the Project Manager for Alyeska. Mr. Bob Miller, who is Manager of Public Relations for Alyeska. The Chamber of Commerce has asked Mr. Elder to come here today and to outline for us his company's interest in the use of facilities at Fort Wainwright North Post, and to answer any questions that our community might have in this regard. We have asked Dr. Earl Beislein, Provost of the University of Alyeska, to act as moderator at the meeting. And I'll now turn the meeting over to Dr. Beislein.
Thank you, Tom. You know, as I look at this group, it sort of reminds me of a meeting on the campus of the University of Alyeska where we're going to discuss the subject of parking. I feel as though we have the same excellent turnout. People are ready to participate. Well, members of the panel, city council members, borough members, ladies and gentlemen, each of you are commended for taking the time and having the interest to participate in today's forum on the lease proposal for the unused portion of the North Post area of Fort Wainwright. In any matter where honest differences of opinion exist, the resolution of such differences is based upon getting the facts and identifying the problems. Today, through the presentation of our speaker and your questions following the talk, we hope to arrive at a better understanding of this situation, obtain facts, and identify possible problems. Based on this information, through appropriate analysis and action, accompanied by maximum coordination, a solution will result. It should give maximum benefits to all of the people of the area and the state, and we know it also has bearing on people throughout the nation. Now, the format this afternoon will be first to have our speaker, Mr. Elder, present and overall view, and then we will ask for questions, and we are trying to close the meeting by 4 o'clock this afternoon. At this time, it's my sincere pleasure to present to you Mr. Charles Elder. Mr. Elder, it's yours. Carry on.
Thank you very much, Earl, and thank you, Tom, and Wally, and the people who put this session together again. I'll have to echo the sentiment that if nothing else, we've found out how to draw a hell of a crowd in Fairbanks. I hope the next time we draw a large crowd, possibly over something that may be less controversial. My prepared notes are very short, because there's many, many facets of this problem and some others that we're willing to discuss and want to discuss. So the purpose of my first remarks is primarily to act as a primer for the balance of the session, at which time we will field any of the questions controlled by the moderator that you have. As you know, our activity has increased considerably in the past month or two, fired off by the final issuance of a federal permit for our project. The status of permits should be noted that we have not yet received a permit from the state. I'm not posing this as a problem, only reminding you that we still have this to do. We don't expect a problem, and the state has been very cooperative, but the fact is the processing of our permit with the state remains to be done. After nearly 5 years, we have started moving. There are technicalities that we have no notices to proceed from the federal government for construction, but I think it's a fair statement the project is underway. I often wondered what it would look like when we started, and the hell of it is, I don't guess we're going to really know. But from this point forward, our project management team is working literally night and day to work on those details which have to be finalized and which of necessity cannot be finalized until the green light is pretty obvious. Just one aspect of all of this activity has brought me to Fairbanks today to discuss with you our possible use of the North Post at Fort Wainwright. When I was here earlier, on an earlier session, I can't really recall, it was late last year, I sat with the borough and city people, and we discussed in some pretty broad generalities this question of impact on the city of Fairbanks. At that time, we weren't able to forecast nearly as accurately as we can now our requirements. But I did say that to lessen impact in total, statewide, that consideration would be given to the use of existing federal and state facilities, and I wasn't able to identify them. I might say at that point in time, Fort Wainwright, as I recall, was not on the market, so to speak. It had been earlier and was off. But we have felt that the use of this type of facility fits the peak activity of our project. We've now established our minimum requirements for the Fairbanks area, and I want to emphasize these are minimum requirements. They're the easiest ones to identify, and they're subject to change. And if experience is any guide on our project, and I'm certain it is, that change and that revision would be in an upward direction. Now, specifically, as we see it right now, we need in Fairbanks, and I'll take time out, but we, in the context that I'm speaking today, is the Alyeska organization and the project management organization of Fluor and Bechtel. Fluor and Bechtel, at this point in time, have been engaged by us to act as an extension of our own engineering and management efforts. Our owner companies were simply not able to provide the talent in the numbers required. The ESCA employees, Fluor or Bechtel. I am not speaking of construction people in that sense. I'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, it's important because we had to live a while to understand our relationship with Fluor and Bechtel. It's unique. All right, now to the things that we need in Fairbanks as we see it now. We need a maximum of 65,000 square feet of office space. We need, excuse me, a minimum, please make that correction. We need a minimum of 125,000 square feet of warehousing and maintenance facilities. We need a construction camp or an area to place construction workers with a capacity of 1,100 persons, and a processing and billeting camp with the capacity of 250 persons. Now, let me talk about the construction camp for a moment. For a long while in our construction plans and today, we are going to place the construction workers in camps along the pipeline. I don't recall, now it's some 27, 25 to 27, entire job. One of those construction camps to simply fit the project and the pipeline road spreads was located somewhere in the general Fairbanks area. When I was here before, I identified that need too, not as a need within the city of Fairbanks, but a construction camp in the area. When we started looking at a little more detail on facilities, we took the entire Fairbanks area, which included then the area that a construction camp would be most likely in. So much for the construction camp. The processing and billeting camp was also a requirement identified, and I must make clear these requirements were identified without relationship to Wainwright, without relationship to anything specific. This is what we needed. The billeting camp and the processing camp is almost an overnight stay sort of thing, except you may not stay overnight. You may only stay for 5 hours. It's the processing camp through which workers being sent to various job locations, various construction camps, will give their name, rank, serial number, social security, and all of the other things we need to know before he goes out there. It's an office processing thing, but it does require his physical presence, and he needs some place to be put up where he's immediately available for movement. The billeting camp, and we lump these things, is a little bit different. We are going to have technical and management personnel who will be spending three-fourths of their time in camp, a fourth in at the office, and so on. It's just an overnight or a day-long place to stay while they're getting their business done to go somewhere else. Now, after these requirements were determined, we started looking around the area to see what was available. For the top level of efficiency, we wanted the space for these requirements, if at all possible, in one location. Again, for the use of Alyeska, Bechtel, and Fluor, plus this processing of the construction workers through, plus the construction camp to house 1,100 men. We found that these requirements matched pretty closely with the properties on the north base that had kind of come and gone off of the market. And someone here besides myself will have to explain all that went on with Wainwright over the last 6 or 8 months in respect to was it surplus, was it not, and so on. Nevertheless, we approached then the Army to find out, as of last month, I think is a fair statement, with our requirements, was space and facilities available on the base. And on January 24th, we wrote a letter to the Army and asked them to give us the terms under which those facilities could be made available. We asked them to expedite their reply because we said we'd like to have an answer no later than February 15, or just as fast as you can get it, because that's exactly the state we're in right this moment on all of this project. We wished we would have had the luxury of more time, but we don't. So I say this by way of explanation. If the Army is to be criticized for fast warning, I guess we have to accept some of the responsibility of having the heat, although this was their business to make announcements and so on, not ours. We ask USERAL to provide us with the terms under which these facilities might be made available to us. We do not yet have this information, and therefore we don't have the information available to us to make any final decision on this matter. Under any circumstances, eventually we will have to consolidate these facilities in an area that gives us reasonable communications and access to the people. If there's anything we have learned, and it's shown up many times, that we have been operating from a number of offices for the last 4 years, and we should have learned our lesson by now to get everyone together where they can work together. So that putting everyone together, all of these requirements together in one spot, is paramount. If we're successful in our efforts to lease these facilities at Fort Wainwright, we will use them as I've described. It is not our plan to use them as the headquarters for what we call execution contractors. These are the builders that will be coming to town. There will be technical representatives, liaison people from the building contractors in this complex for the purposes of communications. But if to pull an instant out of the air, and for Lord's sakes, don't say that this is a guy that's got a contract, because there are no contracts. But if H.C. Price, who is a large pipeline contractor, would be awarded a piece of this job, Price would come to whatever area he chooses, not necessarily Fairbanks, and he would establish his headquarters for his operation. Now, I don't think it would take a mental giant to say if you're going to work between Valdez and Prudhoe Bay and you want one spot to run from on your construction activity, that Fairbanks is a very good choice. In any event, we have not provided to handle that kind of thing in the requirements that we've described to the Army. It's not our intention to have any family housing units at the base, unless we find we've got a problem that is not being fulfilled in the community, in which case it's our intention to get people up here and give them a place to live. So I'm not hedging, I'm simply saying it's not our intention to put any temporary residential type housing onto the base. I hope, and I think many of you in this room have heard me on several occasions up here say that I hope that type of the housing necessary for families is generated within the community. That's certainly our policy. We'd rather not, some of us have lived with oil field camps, for example. It's pretty bad news. At least personally, I would rather not get involved in it. We've requested the use of the airstrip and ramp at Fort Wainwright because this will facilitate the movement of our supervisory personnel who will be based there in the office space, and it'll facilitate the moving of the very many miscellaneous camp supplies up the pipeline. It's not our intention, and some of you probably know it isn't even feasible, to operate large aircraft on any continuous basis into that strip, and therefore large cargo carrier shipments, all charter personnel airplanes would operate from International Airport. This operation I've just described would include the movement of the regular movement of construction workers after the job begins, back and forward in the camps, to the extent the large aircraft could be used. So we're not attempting to generate an airport that's competing with International or the facilities of International. On the other hand, the Hercs, the choppers and so on that we want to use out of there, the light aircraft, as a matter of convenience, it is desirable to do this. Now, to Alyeska, I think the advantages of leasing all of this requirement or getting it in some manner in one place is obvious. And I, for one, firmly believe that the lease of these facilities is in the best interests of all of the citizens of Fairbanks. During construction of the pipeline, there's going to be an incredible amount of activity in your town. And I think that if we can utilize these existing facilities, it will take a lot of load off of all of us in the process of going into this period, which is an unknown to a great extent to all of us, except directionally, we know it's going to be great activity. We have said pretty consistently, as a matter of fact, I guess we've got a commitment on this about as strongly as anything, that all of our policies, all of the way we go about our business, we are committed to causing the least, quote, impact as we can. Now, I'm beginning to wonder whether I quite understand the word impact at the moment, but that's our statement, and I know what it means, and maybe two at a time we can explain it. One last word on the facilities at Wainwright before I stop for the questions. I've already said we have not made a judgment that we're going to use them. We don't have the information to make that judgment. We don't know how much it's going to cost us. We don't know which facilities may be released and so forth. We do know that if we take them over, there will be, I think I'm safe to say, several million dollars worth of renovation that will be required, that we will have to cause, so that it isn't that we can move out there day after tomorrow and make those facilities accomplish the purpose we're after. In respect to the timing, and we would like to, we will have people starting up here, professional people, very soon. The workers, it's a little hard to predict, but it will. We're saying April sometime. We hope we've got the road crews starting to mobilize. So I hope you can understand the timing problem. Now, if for some reason or another the Wainwright facilities are not made available to us, or if our judgment, they are not economically adequate compared to our next alternate, then we'll have to take a next alternate, and it isn't that we're without one. Fundamentally, this is going to first move the construction camp back out on the pipeline somewhere. Our next judgment was how much shall we move with it, considering this large desire of ours to have everyone in one place, insofar as our own activities are concerned. Well, I know there's lots of areas, specific areas you'd like to talk about. I'm going to stop and answer questions, if that's the program.
That's the program.
All right.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm sure you've answered a number of questions already, but I'm equally sure that there are a great many more to be asked. At this time, I'd asked Mayor Carlson if he has any remarks he would care to make now, or perhaps you'd want to do this later.
Allow the people to start asking questions.
Okay, and Mayor Gillum.
I've already made my comments.
Fine. Well, at this time then, we'll open the meeting to questions. We'd like these to come one at a time, and I'd certainly like to recognize the people in case there are a number of hands that go up at one time. Any questions? Chuck.
Well, for the schools, Mr. Elder, have you revised your November estimates at all on personnel? Yeah.
Not substantially. Now, you're speaking now of those personnel that Alyeska, Bechtel, and Fleur would move in, who would become permanent residents in the town and have people in school.
In November, you stated you were speaking only for Alyeska, I thought, at that time.
I had to. We hadn't flanged up the contract with Bechtel and Fleur. The numbers are the same. My only comment there would be that, as I've said, I would consider those minimum, and at that time, as a 300 or 350 that I was using.
350, I think.
350, yeah. That's a bare minimum. I think it's fair to say that as time has gone on, that as Bechtel and Fleur, who are really going to be the managers right on the line, have looked at this, they've been more and more inclined to say that more people should be based in this location.
if you put your camp, though, on Wainwright, you know, this 1,100-man camp now, will that increase any in town? I mean, don't you think it might make it attractive to men to bring their husbands, their wives?
Yes, I have to say the same thing as I have all the time with the camps. We can require them, and our current rules say we will, to be in the camp during the time they're on the job. I recognize the problems of keeping somebody in a camp when they're in the town, and but we'll still say the guy has to be there if he's working out of there. He's got to hang his hat. The inclination, I suppose, would be to bring more families. That's a possibility. We'll know much more about this, of course, when we're able to award our construction contracts and get a little better handle of who these ducks are. You must remember always that when we talk about where the execution contractor is going to be headquartered, for example, well, some of them, a number of them are already here. It's going to be the same way with the workers, and I suspect we won't be too successful in getting the guy from home to go out and live in the camp if he's living here in Fairbanks.
Next question.
Yes, I would imagine that the dominant view of the Fairbanks citizen and those around the table particularly would be of unqualified welcome, certainly an eager hand to help you in any way possible, to be as constructive joint venture as we can. I would imagine that would be the dominant view of the whole community, whether whatever the person's calling might be. But at the same time, as an elected official, we are all concerned in the council as well as the assembly and the school board with other things that might have an influence of an adverse nature. And it's only a reasonable person who would be alive to this influence of this location of your facility here in Fort Wainwright. And since this is a government controlled area, it's not within the control of the city or a private person. Obviously, there are some important questions that arise that would ordinarily not arise if it were an arm's length operation. But this arm's length feature is one that disturbs me, because there are a whole host of questions that enter into this relationship with Alyeska and the Army, and then tertiarily to the people of the city of Fairbanks. I've got before the council and the assembly, I've got a resolution in which there are about 10 questions to be answered, hopefully, at such a meeting like this. You're handicapped because you don't know the term. But we hope that we're certainly going to have some more complete public hearings on this. But one of the first things that strikes a person, the first two really, they can be wrapped into one: how and to what amounts the lands, improvements, and facilities to be valued? And then how and to what extent would such properties be susceptible to local sales, use, and property taxes, a whole host of others. But this strikes, I think, for those on elected status, as well as other concerned citizens, of utmost importance, because we're going to have to meet from the general treasury some of the costs associated with your, you know, your positioning here. Although we welcome it, once again, we extend an eager helping hand.
Yes, I understand that, and you're entirely correct. We don't know the terms. We have not asked the Army, how much taxes are you going to pay, what are you going to do? We've simply gone the GI route and said, you come back and tell us what the deal is. On the other hand, I think I can assure you that as you make us aware of the questions you have that are unanswered, we'll participate in getting an answer. I don't mean it lateral at all. I'm just saying we have expected that they would come back to us with this, and to the extent you have these kind of questions, they should be known to us.
I'm sure that there's other people who can ask questions, and I'm not going to say anything other than this. But could you give us an idea when you will know specifically what relationship you have with the Army, and number two, when we can get together again for a full, complete, and detailed scrutiny of these this relationship?
Well, quite obviously, we will not get the answer in the time we ask for, the 15th. I think that's a reasonable assumption now, from the Army on the terms. What will they make available to us? How much will it cost us? What happens to the improvements that are made and the normal sort of thing? I will say, though, as again evidenced by their quick announcement, they're working at it. And Dick, you might want to comment on What I'm saying is that it's their move, and we'll try to encourage them, but they wanted a couple of more weeks, the last I heard. They've got an appraisal thing to go through and so forth.
Yeah, Charlie, the last word we had, it would be probably around the middle of March or later before we get this appraisal in the terms of which we could work with you.
Of course, there's a whole host of legal. Are you prepared to discuss anything of a legal nature right now?
No.
And when are you going to have that information? Do you think that in the middle of March at the same time?
I think specifically which legal tax question, for example.
Yeah, how far do our covenants, for example, run into that federal property? The covenants of the city of Fairbanks, the people thereof. You know, to what extent will our governmental influence intrude upon that base? Because obviously,
possibly, I think. I have written general remarks, Bob, concerning this question here. I've also written general remarks and asked them that they include a value 3 to 3.5% of the appraised valuation as a payment in lieu of tax. Trying to go through an evaluation of leasehold interest, which would be obviously quite small. I've asked just that they include an amount for a payment in lieu of tax. I've also asked that concerning our police powers, this has been pretty well discussed previously, that the police powers would be applicable inside of the property that is leased, Fairbanks, City of Fairbanks police power. That the fire protection can be still continued by Fort Wainwright. And so I ask the obvious question after that is, what about the building code? Does that apply inside the buildings that are leased? Since the police powers will apply there.
Satisfied
in the city of Fairbanks. That's a fair statement.
Yes. Why don't you repeat the question?
The question was, have we failed to find our requirements as I described them in the Fairbanks area? And my answer was yes. In one piece, one place. I think I can start with 1,100 man camp.
You're specifically referring to it, having everything unitized in one small area. Is that right? Where else can you find anything like this in the state of Alaska other than a military base?
Well, we would have to build it, possibly. Right. Possibly.
And then you have that consideration facing you. The event that you will not be able to use Fort Wainwright.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I don't misunderstand me. When we come to the altar, we have to, number one, move the 1,100 man camp out of town, put it on the pipeline. From there on, our judgment of where we build or acquire space into that one location will have to be made just that way. It doesn't necessarily say that everything I've described we would put elsewhere, but that's where we have to start.
Well, how well does Fairbanks come?
I think it's very critical.
The question was, how well does Fairbanks come?
How close does Fairbanks come to satisfying these needs?
To satisfy the needs required.
Well, let's. I'm not going to debate exact location. Let's take office space. There is no office space in one location, even, of 65,000 feet up. Not that we've identified. That is satisfactory for the purpose we're talking about. There is not office space of that magnitude currently existing where there's substantial warehouse space. And there certainly is not that office space existing where there's a to put a processing center and 1,100 workers.
Okay. Jim, I believe you had your hand up.
Yes, he mentioned the minimum requirements, and I haven't got it quite straight. Is
This is Alyeska. How far does this go down the tier? In other words, you have a regular flow sheet. How far does this go down? Does this include Fluor? Does this include Bechtel and yourself and certain contractors and certain suppliers? Or where does this stop? In other words, there is some space available in Fairbanks. And there's also a lot of plants in Fairbanks. At this point, I think everybody has suddenly stopped. And I don't think that's to anyone's advantage. In other words, how much need can you see at this point? To me, the base fills all your requirements you were talking about, and some more.
Well, they fill the ones I was talking about. But those requirements were only Alyeska, Fluor, and Bechtel, the construction cam, and the processing center ability. It did not include, and this and I got to sympathize with you when it's confusing when we put Fluor and Bechtel in there. They are, at this point in time, only hired as an extension of our own management people. They're not builders. They're engineers, and they're management people. The builders, name them NK, Price, the whole works who may be in here, are not considered as a piece. Their headquarters, their operating location are not considered in this Fort Wainwright requirement. Now, if you want me to, I'll give you a real simple answer. It's my opinion that the space that, from our knowledge, that's currently available right now of warehouse, office, and otherwise has no problem down the road. But I'm not going to stand here and commit it.
Okay, next. If you'd speak as loud as you can.
I'll identify myself before I speak. I'm Don Stetson with Filio Engineering. I'd like to ask Charlie two questions. One, first, what is the time frame for occupancy of these spaces that you need at the present time? Do you have to put them together within 3 months, 6 months, or would we have time to prepare these spaces for you? The second thing I want to know is, assuming that, the worst I'm assuming, that we can't provide the space for you, you're going to occupy Wainwright, how long would you anticipate occupying these military facilities before you would try to construct things that would do your work exactly the way you want them, instead of on a makeshift basis? Did I make that fairly clear, Joe?
Yep. Well, the first answer is that had this been in any other project in the world but ours, if we were at this stage of time in respect to start of construction, we would have already been in most of them. So they just simply can't come too fast. Our problem is what's our makeshift arrangement that we're going to use while they come, even with Fort Wainwright. I've mentioned substantial renovation and so on. Now, it seemed to us that so long as this possibility existed of these facilities, that it was not wise to commit ourselves or local builders or anyone else to an expenditure of this nature, which gets to the next point that you make, that we still have to consider the use of these facilities as a 3-year job, or probably more realistically a 3 to 5 year job, because you'll remember we've got a second increment of capacity that may come along to us here while this is all going on. We haven't felt that the facilities of the size that we're describing can economically be put together by anyone for that short period of time. But we've been prepared to take the lug, as we're doing with our construction camps out on the pipeline. If we have to do it, we have to do it. So I don't know that it answers precisely your question, but we need them right now. The sooner we can get them, the better. We're going to be poor boying it through here the way we are already. And this is the reason that we were saying to the Army, we need to know what this proposal is, because we've got to start working our alternate plan.
Yes.
The second question, you didn't answer that. How long would you use the facilities of Wainwright?
We would use them through the entire job if that were our lease arrangement.
Would you, during this period, construct probably your own facilities to replace those at Wainwright, or would you depend on the remodeling of Wainwright to take care of your entire...
Well, from the cost we think it may be, we would stay there as long as somebody would let us and the job's still around. It's no little job to put these up to the standards as we see it now, and you must understand that that work has not been done in detail. No, I don't believe we'd consider replacing Wainwright through the construction period, assuming we were in the first place.
Well, may I modify my question just a little bit to say that you are going to put these construction facilities, you're going to have permanent facilities here in all probabilities. Is that not right?
Permanent?
Permanent.
Yes.
And while you're at Wainwright, you will be in the process of constructing these permanent facilities in Fairbanks.
Yes, we will, but I should say they will be very modest compared to what we're describing for construction.
Well, I think the gentleman here.
Could we assume from what you said earlier that possibly, maybe I sound like a broken record going back to when you were here in October, that the Bechtel, Fluor, and Alyeska major offices, provided you got Wainwright, would be in Fairbanks? Would you be a leader in coming to Fairbanks?
Me?
Alyeska, Fluor,
and
Bechtel. Even you, you said you were coming to Alaska, so possibly you.
Well, I'm in. The headquarters, if this in the terminology grabs us here, we have established in our plan that the headquarters for the project will be located in Anchorage. The headquarters for the day-to-day construction, the activity of putting this line in, can be defined as Anchorage, I think, fairly. But there will be some Fluor and Bechtel people in Anchorage also.
You meant Fairbanks.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me. I didn't make that horrible mistake. I had the same trouble with Fort Worth and Dallas. So.
Would you repeat that again?
Yeah, why don't you run through it again?
Would you run through that sentence again?
We will have an Alyeska corporate headquarters in Anchorage. In Anchorage, in our corporate headquarters for the coordination of the entire project, we will have some representatives from the Fluor and Bechtel Company working with our engineers, primarily design work. In Fairbanks, all of the people that are concerned with the day-to-day construction activity on the pipeline project will be headquartered here, which means that the project managers for the pipeline and road would be located in Fairbanks and so on. So I think it may be an oversimplification that the headquarters for the construction phase and getting the work done on a day-to-day, week-by-week basis will be here in these facilities I described. Down in Anchorage, we're going to have things like our law guys and the corporate, the non-working type fellas. Because that's all right. If there's any attorneys in, I didn't mean to.
My second part of the question is part of the earlier statement you made, which provided, and let's assume that, up until today, we haven't had a lot of your minimum requirement specifications. Assuming, too, that you're speaking only for yourself and not potential contractors on the job, assuming that some of them are not in Alaska presently and that they would have to relocate, would you, again, we're talking possibly semantics, but the town, I'm sure, has a need-to-know basis on those kinds of requirements. And what kind of information sources, and would you stop any effort on their part of joining you at Fort Wainwright, as an example, if you were to be successful at Fort Wainwright?
We will not have room for them at Fort Wainwright.
Question in the way in the back, right?
Yes, I think some of us that would like to supply some facilities for you have sort of been in the dark. I realize your desires and your requests have been changing, but December, I understood that Fluor was in the market for 40,000 square feet of office space. So on December 29th, I offered Fluor, I mailed up a proposal, offered 40,000 square feet of office space, 20,000 square feet of storage space, 14 acres adjacent to the airport out here, all under one of our facilities. And that was on December 29th.
You know why they didn't take it?
And they must have thrown in the trash can.
No, they didn't. I'm sure they didn't. The reason they didn't take it, we haven't had any money to make a commitment with.
Well, I realize that, but maybe they could have wrote back and said, right now we're not interested, but thanks.
Well, if they did not acknowledge it, I'll apologize for mentioning it. They should not. But in all seriousness, I hope somehow we can get across the fact that it's been difficult for us to do this in the view of when is the permit. The owner companies naturally are not going to fund commitments before they know that they can go with their money, get the job done. So I have to admit that we've made as many false starts as anyone in the construction business ever has, but I do apologize if you got no acknowledgement. Yes, sir.
Well, that's okay. Stay right here. Okay.
I'm going to take advantage of the situation I'm in here and get another chance. My name is John Eubank, and I'd like to take this opportunity to state that I'm behind Alyeska 100%, and I think that the opportunity to move on to Fort Wainwright is the best thing that possibly happened to this community. You've called this meeting here evidently because of a lack of communication, and you're trying to inform everybody to quiet the uproar of this calendar. I would like to say that this is due to a lack of communication on Alyeska's part, which is understandable because Alyeska has a lack of communication within its own organization.
You won't get any denials from me.
I don't want to wash Alyeska's dirty laundry in public.
I appreciate that. I think that would be the correct thing to do. Thank you, John.
Mr. Elder, does Alyeska intend to contract Bechtel and Fluor prior to issuance of a state right-of-way permit?
Yes. We have a contract with Bechtel and Fluor already.
I mean, do you intend to name them as your management contractors?
Well, we hope to. This is an internal thing. I think you're referring to the fact that we have not formally done that. We hope to. This is, again, the question of a commitment.
Would that place Bechtel and Fluor in a position to start contracting, subcontracting, prior to the issuance of a state right-of-way permit?
No, we will not, unless we get down to Juneau and get completely squared, we will not let any contracts until we have all necessary permits. On the basis, again, a contract is a commitment. It's a bar that we simply have in procedure.
Have you set the issuance of the state permit as a point at which you will issue these contracts?
We will be ready to do that then. Now, I think, as you may know, that we are out on the market on some of these. I really don't recall. I think the road inquiries for the road construction are out now with bids due back before too long. But we will not make an award, I assure you, of those bids until we are clean with all permits necessary proceed, because we've got a problem. Alyeska doesn't have any money, and we go to the owners. You can be rest assured they've told us we spend a lot, but we need to get the owners to commit to back any contracts we sign. Now, I think we're hoping to say that we can make awards of pipeline and road contracts in the latter half of March, as I recall the whole timing of this matter. In the meantime, there are proposals for certain work going out. We are receiving bids, but we will not execute any contracts of any substantial nature for construction until that date.
Until the latter part of March.
Yeah, this is the first time that I have heard
any comment from Galeasco, the positive remark that Fairbanks does not have the requirements that Galeasco will need in this project. And over a year and a half, so your people have been coming to town and have been making calls and talking with people and asking a lot of questions. Not one time has anyone ever said
go build
Fairbanks does not have, not no one has ever told anybody that Fairbanks does not have enough here for us. This would have been appreciated because there's been a lot of work done by people in this area in anticipation.
All right, I think it's a fair statement, but let me say two things about it. The first one is that it has only been within the last 3 months that we could reasonably define those requirements. That's a fair statement, isn't it? This construction plan is mammoth. And until we got Fluor and Bechtel on, this engineering scope was overpowering. So in the first place, we couldn't be very definitive. I think the second thing is that in view of the history of our project, we would have been extremely reluctant to encourage anybody to go ahead with what we said we thought was going to happen. That was the dilemma.
We'll get back to you, Tom.
Okay. You spoke earlier of alternates. Now, what are your alternates or what are your plans at the North Coast Leasing Lake Falls?
In case you didn't hear, can you hear back there the question?
Okay.
The question was, what is the alternate, the next alternate in case Fort Wainwright falls through?
Well, we're going to do something else. That's a fair question, and I'm not going to give you a good answer. We have some. We know what they are. Fundamentally, it says, number one, we move the construction camp automatically becomes out on the pipeline again in the near vicinity. That's number one. And then we'll take a look at our professional people that are going to have to be in here in literally in next month and the month after in numbers, maybe temporarily first, but we're going to say, where can we put them to keep this thing going? And it may be the decision will be out there, because this principle of keeping the people together is important to us. But I think you can appreciate why I shouldn't go past that on our alternates. And if y'all feel like I'm withholding information in respect to the detail, I am. But it isn't likely that we'll fragment ourselves in a whole lot of places. Maybe that.
Just a secondary part of my other question, Mr. Elder, I'm curious to know, again, if possibly, just frankly, would Alyeska be willing, in view of the full planning effort that if you had more information you would have been able to accomplish, would you be willing to be a leader in trying to get the outside contractors, outside firms with whom you know full well are going to be working with you, to at least show the public some kinds of courtesy to allow them advance information so that we can be prepared, so that we don't have other people telling us we're not ready?
The question basically is, would you care to be, would you be a leader in having other you companies interested in looking over the area other than Fort Wainwright before selecting Fort Wainwright if the space would be available? Basically, is that it?
Communication channel to the public so that if we're not ready, that we can get ready.
Right.
Well, it would be awful nice to say yes to that. And fundamentally, I think I can. But again, you've got to recognize that the contractors have not been picked yet. We will have, for the sake of argument, let's say that we got 15 different contractors that are going to work the pipeline. There's going to be a time here when we have 30 proposals for 15 pieces of the job. Those contractors don't know who they are. The thing that will happen is what we were just listening to here, that they will come up and trying to evaluate their own position and do some research, and we can get confused again. if you're asking the question, will we tell these contractors where to locate to do their job? No. But you see, it's impossible for them to do anything. It's impossible for me to anticipate HC prices requirements in this town, for example. I think I'd be leaving you down a primrose path if I alleged I could. On the other hand, as soon as these kinds of information, I see no, there's a good reason that you're made immediately aware of the contractor. The contractors are immediately made aware of the people he can talk to here in Fairbanks and so on. Now, if anyone has a better solution under the circumstances, I certainly would be willing to listen to it, because we haven't thought of one, without causing undue risk, possibly, on the part of somebody in town here.
Chuck?
Mr. Elder, with reference to the Wainwright facilities now, you've been saying that this fits your requirement. Now, there's a total of 653,000 square feet total being offered out there. Now, and you say that you are only going to use enough of that, am I correct, to fill your requirements for the headquarters only?
And the 1,100 man camp.
Okay. But are they going to be housed in those buildings, or are you going to take land and construct the camp?
No, the construction camp uses the current housing, the barracks.
That's in your plan. Okay, yeah. Now if you start putting aircraft out there, as you said, light aircraft for miscellaneous personnel and helicopters, will you be having to build facilities to house those planes?
No, because I think typically the aircraft I'm describing already has a base here in Alaska.
Okay, so the parameter you're talking about then is strictly the involvement of what the Army has offered, the 33 buildings out there. You're not planning additional construction or things like that, or taking over lands for storage dumps or anything.
Let me think about that one. Proposing, I've asked them, is there land available for some material storage? We've done that. I said earlier that we have asked them, do they have land available for temporary mobile type housing? And I said that is only asking them in the event we run into a tight and there isn't an alternate here in town.
That was going to be my next question, because you did mention if the housing wasn't available, you might have to locate it out there. So you would be thinking then in terms of trailer court or something like that.
If it were not available, the equivalent housing. We don't want to build family housing. We start there.
Okay, can you amplify a little back? You talked about this being maybe now up to a five-year job. I thought you said in tents or something.
I don't enunciate too clearly sometimes.
No, but I mean,
we are still hanging with a construction plan that says we will complete what we call the Phase 1 construction in 1977. Phase 1 means that the pipeline has the capability of moving 600,000 barrels a day of oil. That's four pump stations on the whole line. The next thing you do to get more oil through the pipeline is build more pump stations. We have what's called a phase two increment, which is five more pump stations, and the terminal is expanded down at Valdez. That gets us to 1,200,000 barrels per day. Then we describe phase three as the maximum, at which time we have 12 pump stations in total, and the line capacity is 2 million. So far, our contract with the owners says that we will design phase one and phase two, and we are authorized, when we get the word, to build phase one. That's back to the three-year program. If we get into another five pump stations and so on, that's when I start saying that it could be another couple of years before all construction we're finished, but it's way, way, way down in manpower.
Okay. How many acres did you request of the Army? Can you tell us that?
I don't believe we did it that way. We identified buildings, and I might say, too, that you cannot necessarily take the buildings that the Army advertised and add them up and come out with the space we require, because there were double questions on some. For example, BLM, I think, is some plans of moving there and so forth. But we were simply saying, within the confines of the area, these buildings, is there rack space and so on.
You were just talking about the area of the north post.
The north base.
Not heading across the runway to the wide open fields there or anything. And I think
the
question...
Well, I better be careful there.
Chuck, let me answer that. Within the confines of where the river loops up the north,
right.
We asked what real estate might be available and what price per acre would they make available to us. And that's what we asked.
That's around the end of the runway by the river and stuff
correct.
Like that.
Yep.
Okay, and lastly, I think Mr. Stetson alluded to this in his first question. When do you figure on moving out there? You got to do your renovation. Well, right this minute,
I'd say it'd be a while.
Well, March 15th, I guess, is the earliest you're going to hear from the Army, from what we've heard of the schedule. And then you say, several million dollars worth of renovation. So you're pretty close, to April 15th? Or?
Well, I wish I could be that definitive. We will have people, and what we'll do, as you usually do, even with the best of planning, I suppose, the guys will be putting wires in while the guy's working at a desk underneath and that sort of thing. But we would have people we would want to put in before we're going to get the answer.
By April 1, if possible.
By March 1?
April 1.
Bob? I'm disappointed. I would imagine many people are, too, because of the lack of specificity on the terms of the use of those facilities. But we'll accept your statement, of course, because you haven't gotten them from the Army.
Louder.
So you can't tell us
What I would request, if the people that are going to have these long questions would come up to the microphone and ask the questions here. So, Bob, would you come up here, please? I think, in fairness to the people in the back, they're losing the intent of the questions, and some of the questions get to be fairly long. I think this will make it better.
Fine, thank you. I think we're all somewhat disappointed, at least I am, because we can't find more specific details about this very, very important project to us all. But we will accept your statement that you're not armed with that information. And of course, as a result, you can't give it to us. But I hope that we, the next meeting, or at least some meeting, that we're fully apprised in a very detailed fashion. I speak in a narrow interest of government. Of course, the cost of government has a way of touching us all, I'm sure you'll agree, in the way of taxes. I'm sure that all of us are going to have to pay those if we don't get the proper relationship worked out here with Alyeskin, the city and the borough of the Fairbanks area. But now specifically on that, I see the commander here, or yourself, once again, from the narrower form of government, what type of policy will be established for Fort Wainwright with the egress and ingress policy established? What sort of freedom of use of that facility will be made available?
Bob, when you talk, what are you?
Well, let's say we have police departments here and fire departments, and we can't even speak intelligently on what our relationship will be to that post. But the first thing that pops into mind, other than the information that we don't have, and unfortunately we don't have, but we need it, and we certainly are going to have it in the future. But I mean, just basically, we should be able to answer what type of relationship will the Army have with the city and the borough insofar as going on to that post and doing whatever we're going to do as soon as we find out the terms under which we'll be operating. Will we be able to drive in there with our police cars or fire wagons? Or
Bob, you do that today. You understand? You come on and.
Well, our police cars don't exercise jurisdiction on that post.
Come in, and when we've had somebody commit an offense, they do. we have a concurrent jurisdiction. I think you understand that, right? I think a lot has to do with how the terms of the lease are probably written. I'm not going to shoot from the hip here and say, here's how the lease is going to come out. I think I'd be foolish to do so. I think I can answer a couple of minor questions that were raised in the newspaper last night. The question was, would the people be allowed to use the